It's not the reason why we lost in the final. It's not even the reason. Okay. We lost in the final because...
I think that's why everybody was saying the AFCON was Nigeria against all other countries, because we are so full of ourselves.
I like it though. Press their neck. You're even lucky that we didn't win. If we had won...
Who mashes one person? If I can say another like major reason was, you know, when you go on your on the ticketing platforms and stuff like that, you're trying to look for events. If you type, let's say Nigeria, for example, you would get swallowed up in like thousands of events that probably don't even cater to our needs as like, for example, an immigrant. So that was like the aim of the town crier, to spotlight stuff like that. Oh. Is it vibe? Tony.
Yeah, I think it's
big
a vibe.
Smoke, pelu, tobacco. And that's the best thing about Portable. Like, one thing that I've learned personally from him is that talent is not enough. You have to fight, push yourself. He doesn't wait for anybody to push him or anything. He will push himself. You will not get that. He knows how to use the internet.
But there's this whole topic going on right now. I was going to ask, for us as immigrants that we grew up in Nigeria. Do you think the UK is depressing?
This is where Lagos meets London. Where Peckham boys chilling in Osapa, London. As Murtala Mohammed, Heathrow is where London Bridge links Third Milan Bridge via Goslow. This is where Lagos meets London.
What is going on, people? Happy New Year. Happy belated New Year. Yeah. Guys, we are finally back. As you guys already know, this is where Lagos meets London. I'm the only,
Regular.
The only noticeable face today. But today, guys, we have one of Lai Wasabi's, she's the Lord with Lai Wasabi. Guys, we have Habiba joining our little family. Guys.
My name is Habiba, and this is where Lagos meets London.
Yes, woo-hoo! Guys. Yeah, thank you. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We are hoping that life will not life this year, so that we'll be more consistent.
Inshallah.
And for everyone that will be starting fast tomorrow, may Allah strengthen all of us. Guys, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And don't forget that you can watch on YouTube too. You can listen on audio streaming platforms. And finally, today we have Ara Dugbo. We have Tommy's here with us today. She runs a page called The Town Crier London. She'll tell us just a little bit about Town Crier London, and then we'll get into it later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Tommy.
Alpha. Hi guys. Oh my god. Wow. Lagos meets London. Okay. So I'm Tommy Sin. I run the page The Town Crier. I was about to say The Town Crier meets London. That's a good event
that's
idea.
Let's
do that. But anyway, so I run the page The Town Crier London, and we basically promote events by Africans in London. So to be specific, international Africans. So event promotion, you know, list of what's happening in the month. We meet up and we do ticket giveaways. So that's a nice little
giveaway.
Giveaway.
In terms of, because you use the word town crier, the word town crier is not, it's not something that people that are living in London, that they will really know. So can you do like proper town crier for us?
I should do the proper, like
Yoruba film.
I can't do it.
So guys, Habiba will give town crier actually means.
Okay, go on.
She'll do it for us. Come on. Oh, yeah.
Are you serious, guys?
Yes, now we are. So that people will know what town crier actually means.
So
let me help.
Mm-hmm. I'm Yoruba, so exactly. You need what's that thing?
Gong bell
or something.
Yeah, gong.
Then you say kere.
So kere means attention with exclamation mark.
Yeah.
So basically, a town crier is back in the days in Yoruba culture, Yoruba history, someone that goes, if the king or if they need to pass an important message in the community, that people need to know that if you snooze, you lose. If you're not there, you're not happening. Exactly. You don't know what's up. Yeah. So the town crier goes around, probably in the village circle, and then they beat the thing and say, bang, 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 bang. This is what is happening. The king is about to marry his sixth wife, X, Y, Z, and whatnot. So that's what the town crier means.
Exactly.
And yes, guys, so welcome to another episode, brand new episode of Lagos meets London. Check out the town crier's page on Instagram for giveaways, for the events. Very nice, amazing events. What would you say is the best?
Networking.
Oh, no, sorry.
And maybe for networking.
Exactly, yeah, for networking as well. So you're going to ask, like, what's the best event?
What's the best event that you say you've been to?
It's usually the free ones. No, the ones I did not pay money to go. Yard, and I'll explain. So, for example, the Africa Center has really nice free events, and there are different parties that come to run them. So one was with Oroko Radio, and it was like an exhibition and a talk, and there was food and drinks, nice. And it was free.
Wow.
It was free. There was food. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's been my favorite in terms of that.
For me, in terms of events that say Nigerian diaspora community, okay. it will still be the pub quiz.
Mm.
I think I like it because all Nigerian pub quiz is something that I've yet seen any
negative. Yeah.
We have to.
I'll send. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, it's really nice. The song, the music, the questions, and then just the all round kind of vibe. It's actually very nice.
Yeah. So I went, the last time I went was courtesy of you guys. Thanks for inviting me.
We're having to run jobs more.
Yeah, and it was a nice environment. The people were really nice. Like, we joined tables with random people.
Yeah, it's actually very amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, competitive.
And it's very cheap to attend too.
Exactly.
And it's good for networking.
Like, yeah, it is. Especially if you're like new in the country, you don't have friends.
Exactly.
You need to go to.
Yeah.
So that. Yes, so I know you. You were very involved in, like, when the whole AFCON was going on. I'm still heartbroken. It's still pain in my heart. Anytime I remember, who was your best player of the tournament?
The goalkeeper, Nigerian goalkeeper. Does it count?
Oh, so most of you were just watching so that when we win, you can just be pressing people's neck.
Exactly. Now.
How about you?
I can't remember his name. He's one Yoruba, but he has a Muslim name. Lukman. That was my favorite.
Player too. Yeah.
How about you?
Me, my favorite player of the tournament would be... Oh, shit. I actually haven't thought about answer. My favorite I think my favorite player would be Lukman. The semi-final and the final, I didn't see him, so that's I'll say Frank Onyeka. Frank Onyeka, okay. He's consistent in his performance. He's not popular, but I will not bore you people with football.
I like what you say when you say is consistent with his performance, because sometimes I feel like Nigerians forget about consistency and then they just pick on you once you just fuck up. One small fuck up, they just go on Twitter and start trolling you. And I think that's what happened in this Joshua's fight, when he did not acknowledge Nigerians, and people are like, why is he not acknowledging Nigerians? But you guys always troll these people when they just have one small fuck up and you want them to still acknowledge you. We always forget about, oh, this person has been good over time. Yeah. Once more, fuck up, you guys just
It's Nigerian culture. I think it's Twitter culture. I don't know if it goes everywhere. Any small fuck up, there will be. But I don't. Maybe I don't know why it did not shout Nigerians out. I don't know. But I know that Nigerians were laughing at him when they lost his last fight.
That's probably why.
And that's how Nigerians are.
Nothing will happen.
Offended.
Yeah, even me. When I saw the video, someone made a video where he shouted. Even them, he shouted out everybody. Not shout at Nigerians. I'm like, wow.
Why would he?
This is like this guy is a pagan.
With him, 100%. Because Nigerians, you guys are just. Yeah. You forget. 1 minute you're hailing somebody, in the next minute, fuck up, any small fuck up, you guys are trolling the person.
Even with AFCON, just after we lost, the way they were abused, I was like, you people are, you only enjoy with these players when they win. Yeah. So when everything has gone tits up, you're just abusing different people. Different players are like, wow, see the true color of people. That, in my mind, I say, maybe that's why God did not want us to win.
To be honest.
Yeah. I think, although it's not right, I think a large part of it is entertainment. People just like to banter on Twitter, just like take a moment and make it big. So,
I think most of the Nigerians, tomorrow they will troll another person. They don't really...
Yeah. And the funny thing is they forget that there's an actual human being behind that phone.
Exactly.
There's an actual person with an actual heart, with an actual emotion. Obviously, nobody wants to be the center of a troll. Like, you don't want to be the one being trolled every day, especially this cute guy, this Nigerian footballer. What's his name again?
Which one of them? Is
the one that they kept trolling. Okocha's. Yeah.
It will be, yeah. Wow, cyberbullying.
Hey, cyberbullying. It will be. She lives.
Shout out to
she lives very close. So.
Yeah. I think. I don't understand why they were trolling the guy. Because it was.
Yeah, I fought with so many people on this. Like, guys, I say, guys, this is so annoying. And it's not even just like you guys are true. You're not trolling like his performance. You are doing it as if he's the one that carried the ball like this and just threw it into Nigeria's net. That's the kind of insult where the guy was getting. Like, it's not the reason why we lost in the final. It's not even the reason. We lost in the final because I think the pressure was too much. Mm-hmm. Like, people that went to watch, they said in the stadium, they could hardly find 1,000 Nigerians. The rest, Cote d'Ivoire, they let the people in for free. Obviously, it's in their country. So it was very, very overwhelming.
And let me not lie, that song. I was rooting for them when I heard that song. Yeah. I still listen to that song. La Côte d'Ivoire Excellente.
But speaking of the number of like Nigerians in the stadium, why do you think that was the case?
There's a ship in the economy.
Yeah.
And I heard to fly to
the ticket
from like
was high. It was and, crazy expensive.
Another thing is that it still boils down to the point that Nigerian people will only celebrate with you when you are winning. If Nigerians knew that we would actually go that far, they would go there and farms. But I'm sure at the beginning of the tournament, people did not really plan to say that Omo, we are winning, we are stepping, we are busy South Africa. Everybody just brought Nigerians together in such a way that was very nice, but I just feel like people did not believe we'll go that far. If not, people would have done it. And that thing is finances.
Yeah,
it's not really easy it's for them in Cote d'Ivoire. The average person could have just gone to the stadium and watched. But for your average it's not easy for an average Nigerian to buy a flight ticket to go to Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's always interesting to see how hard it is to travel in the continent.
Sorry, but Cote d'Ivoire, if we ever host Nations Cup, people are finished. and you play Nigeria, you are finished.
I'm with him.
I'm telling you, they are finished. Nigerians will never forget.
See, I did not say this thing that they
are finished because if it was somewhere like Ghana, I know that Nigerians, a lot of Nigerians would have been there.
Oh, of course.
If we were playing in Ghana, a lot of Nigerians would have been there. But Cote d'Ivoire is quite far.
Mm. But there's a conversation that she was bringing up. And I think you should.
Yeah. Just like why intercontinental travel is harder compared to like internationally. So if I want to go to Senegal, for example, why are you taking me to Ethiopia first before we go to Senegal? And then why is it costing
so much? Yeah.
Yeah, somebody brought that thing up too. I saw it. It's just, somebody said it's just so like it's something that we're not really, people are not paying attention to say like traveling within the continent is so expensive, ridiculously expensive. And why is that? It's just if you look at, let's look at Europe as a whole.
Yeah.
Or even just as small as the UK is, you can go to Northern Ireland. From like it's so easy, I can go there today and come back. Go in the morning and come back in the night. I can go to Ireland in like an hour.
Yeah,
I can go and come back, and it's very, very cheap compared to. I don't know how it happened, but I know that when I was small, I went to Ivory Coast by plane. That was the first ever time I even took plane, and it was like 45,000 naira for the plane. Yeah, like.
Imagine.
But now you'll be hearing like 1 million naira plus. That's crazy. Like, it's crazy. I don't know. Yeah, it's African leaders. They need to do better, man.
Take God beg you. I beg.
So, what's your favorite meme to come out of the tournament?
Okay, so the Odunade one, when we lost and they were like Nigeria to other African countries, because you know, we were insulting them throughout. Ooh. And it's that like, I love you, you love me, we are one big family. That one. That was my favorite meme. Oh, the other one was the make me sway with the guys singing.
Oh, yeah, like the guys in the school.
Yeah.
That's definitely in the like. What you need to go to as well?
The first and the best in Nigeria.
You are.
Exactly.
You guys are annoying with that thing.
The best.
If you ask them what university they go to and they go to that school, they will give you an answer like that. Is it that
the
they
Premier
say the best?
University.
Or they will say, yeah, the Premier University.
I love it. Rep.
Hey, shout out UI people.
Big up,
though.
You guys.
Shout out UI people. I like UI, though. I've been to the campus before. I like the campus. Very, very big. Like, nice vibes. I like it.
Yeah. Thank you for liking us.
I like UI. Do you know your favorite meme now?
I'm not going to lie, I don't have any favorite memes.
So my favorite one, there's two. I'm very sorry. And one is from your friend. What's his name again?
Lai Wasabi.
No, not Lai Wasabi. The Walk Street Studios.
Oh, Khalid.
Khalid.
What did you say?
So, like, now, if we are... God forgive me. If we're about to play another country, like when we're playing, and the other country...
Oh, not Khalid. They will start... Shei.
No, it's not Shei. The boy that owns...
Okay,
what? Is Yoruba... He has, like, a Muslim name.
Okay, Khalid. Because Khalid runs Work Street.
Yeah.
And okay, cool.
Wait, let me just check. I thought we were messaging. Tell them to subscribe. Well, I'm looking for it.
You guys should please subscribe.
wait.
Ejo.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. To Lagos Meets London.
So I don't know what his name. His name is not there, but I know you know.
Okay, that's Khalid. I'm sorry.
So before we play, before the countries play, you know, like maybe. Like maybe the opponents, they will come and talk, blah blah blah. Then when we now win, there's a video of Odumodu saying, "This one will be show walking." So
real.
That is that one. So after every game, you post a video of the people talking, and then you post the results. Then you post the Odumodu's video after it. There are no walkings. No, like,
yeah.
And then the last one is the one you also always post.
Yeah, I always
so,
post.
So like when when other countries. That they will start singing, then they'll bring that video of David O'Drummy.
Oh, I like that one,
My
favorite part of that meme is when they carry Tyler to clean the sweat on the back of
you. Yes, now that's you say, people cannot pressure us. They will not bring the video. Even those people, maybe most of the on Twitter, maybe they will be writing in French. Most of these Nigerians don't even understand what they are saying.
South Africans are annoying.
They were just
God.
I'm sure South Africans, I'm sure that week, though, within that, in those period of 4 days, if God said, like, it would turn, like, don't worry, South Africans, do anything you want to them, I'll close my eyes, they can kill the whole of Nigeria. Because we were so annoying. Even me too.
Yeah.
I was looking, I said, if I was not Nigerian, I would be very, very angry with these people.
Yeah, you're right. And to be honest, that's why everybody was saying the AFCON was Nigeria against all other countries because we are so full of ourselves.
I like it though. Press their neck. You're even lucky that we didn't win. If we had won, if we had won, bro, the audacity would have
been
crazy.
And I think they fasted against us winning. That's why we didn't win.
Speaking of Twitter, don't ask me why I was there, but I joined the Twitter space where the Cameroonians were like venting and they were really sad. I was like, oh my goodness, just for one Nigeria to go up there, I was like, why you people, why are you speaking French? Speak English. You know, I said, anyway, Shami, I came here for Cameroonian babe.
When Nigerian guy was there. Nigerians are annoying. You know, see what they said. They said, they went to say we are beating you guys again when Anthony Joshua being Ngonu. You know, Francis Ngonu is from Cameroon. They meant to start messaging Cameroonians that we are beating you people again. And then there's this video, I'm sure you guys must have seen it. This is one of the most annoying videos that came out of the whole like, if I was not Nigerian and I saw this girl, God, like, I would be very, very angry. Like, you know that meme that you hold your fist like
strongly your hand on the corner.
I'm just seeing if I can. I'm sure you guys have seen it.
But mine is just that. Why can't we just be one Africa?
And I think that's the problem with Africa.
Yeah, it's this one. Sorry, guys.
Oh.
So vibey. Just hear the man. Just imagine if I was a South African, I would be so angry if I ever saw something like that. I'm still heartbroken, but I'm sure everyone has gotten
healed. I think the guys, they really did well.
Yeah, they did. And we went far.
We went very far. And it sort of brought Nigerians all over the world together. Yeah. Like the Nigerians in the UK, the ones that are born here, that they've never been to Nigeria, they were all rooting like mad. They were all speaking Yoruba, making TikToks, and just being very, very proud. So Super Eagles, we're proud of you. Shout out, guys. You guys gave us small mouth in the UK. We're able to, in the world. Yes. So now we're going to talk about TTC. So how did that come about? How did Town Crier London come about?
Yeah, so for context, I came to the UK to study in 2017. and graduated. I went to university at Warwick, which is like in West Midlands.
Pronounce Warwick.
Warwick.
Warwick, like Warwick. In Nigeria.
I just want to say Warwick. Warwick.
Warwick.
I would have said that.
Warwick. No yeah, shame. If I, no yeah, shame. Honestly.
It's okay.
If I, if I, it's just like Lewisham. I used, when I first came to UK, I was a Lewisham. It's L-E-W-I-S-H-A-M. Lewisham. Lewisham.
For me, it was Worcester. And I don't know if I'm still saying it right.
You were saying
yeah,
you're, right.
It's correct now. Worcester yeah, is correct. Worcester.
Oh, God. And I heard someone say Leicester or something for Leicester.
Yeah.
TBH, it's just the way it spells. It just, it's very confusing.
I don't know why they throw away the alphabets and the... And the words, and they just pronounce whatever.
That's the UK for you.
So back to Warwick.
So yeah, back to Warwick. I went to Warwick, and to be honest,
Wait, where Warwick is it? Is it in London?
No, Warwick is in like Coventry, but like almost on the outskirts of Coventry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we were very close, like to Cove University, etc. And I left Warwick, moved to London.
Sorry,
to
Warwick. Oh my God, Warwick.
Is it Midland?
First degree, like your degree or postgraduate?
First degree.
Oh, okay.
I haven't even done my postgrad.
What year, sorry?
So I graduated in 2021.
Oh my God.
She's Gen Z. She's proper Gen Z.
I'm a Gen Z.
I feel like I should tell you to kneel down there.
Yes,
as a proper Nigerian.
I should greet you when I'm frustrated.
Tell me she's proper Gen Z.
So I did management with finance, and I've always been the type to like just hate studying. I've always loved to... practice what I've been studying. So even whilst at Warwick, I was part of the society, the ACS, treasurer. I was doing stuff outside, and then university ended, time to enter the real world. So went on the graduate visa and I started working full-time. I'm still at the place I was working at, but I started exploring London. Like, where are guys now in this London? Like, who's doing what? Where are the events?
So where are guys, like romantic, for no, romantic people, relationship?
That,
like,
that one's his part. Like, everything is part.
I don't look for them.
Everything is part.
Oh, they look for you.
Okay.
Let's just say that. What's going on? But I was like, where's everybody? Like, okay. Who is doing what? I know people are here. Like, I have a couple of Warwick friends that were doing stuff. If they're not a poet, an artist, non-artist, they're, you know, like, during an exhibition, one thing or the other. And it was at a specific event. I had a conversation with someone. So this at this event, it was like a fashion one. People just come and we just hang out and we buy stuff. And someone was like, guy, I love events like this where African immigrants or Africans in diaspora can just come together and have a good time. And then that's when it clicked that, you like to do research. That's my full-time job, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I'm a researcher. Why not just, you know, put this thing together, like an information board where people can find out what's happening. And that's how it started. So from an information board, it grew to us like having hangouts. Maybe we'd go to, I don't know, like a Black East London, for example, where we can just chill there. So that's how the town crier started.
Okay. So how would you say, when did you start town crier?
Last year, so like February.
Oh, so February last year. Yeah. Oh, it's still a baby.
Still young, man.
So how do you go about? Does it involve spending loads of time on the internet, like researching for all these kind of events, and making sure it's sort of the events are actually catered to your audience?
Yeah.
Does it involve that?
Exactly. So it's a lot of time, like every month, just sit down and go from all the event platforms, or like be active on Instagram, on Twitter, who is doing what, you know, staying up to date. So we've now done this thing where people can let us know that the event is happening well.
That's amazing.
So it makes it easier for us. So it's a lot of research and all of that, but it's fun. I enjoy it.
Is it just you and your team?
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's us. So it's me who runs like the research and then the social media. And I have two amazing, beautiful sweethearts, Melody and Confidence, helping on the partnerships end, because we're considering, you know, expanding and really engaging with businesses that we know.
Oh, that's nice. So what would you say is the, not the end goal, let's just say this year, what is the goal?
Yeah.
For TTC.
I think it's still forming, but I've seen breakthrough in different aspects. The goal is to really get members on the platform. So I think right now we have about like 50.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, 50 people that have subscribed that want to know what's going on every month. Like they get the information.
Do you have
first.
A newsletter?
Yes, we do.
You see, I didn't know when I went to your Instagram page, I didn't see that there's a newsletter.
It's a highlight, it says subscribe to our. Yeah,
so I'll pin it here. No, I'll pin it on your head. Yeah, that is actually very nice. Like, yeah. I might not, because Instagram now, I don't know if it's just me, Instagram now is so saturated. Yeah. You might not necessarily see, but if I'm subscribed to the newsletter, I know that, oh yeah, once I get the newsletter,
yeah,
I can just go through and see if there are events that I would like.
Exactly.
Like, you invited us for the Fuji Opera.
Yeah.
And yeah,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yes. The Fuji Opera was very, very nice. That's there was cute. Ayu, there was Palm Wine, and it's just,
oh, you Fuji guys need music. To invite me for one.
We have to go.
So for subscribe.
So what would you say before you started TTC, mm-hmm. and now that you started it, would you say that you're enjoying the UK more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Defo. Mm-hmm. Sorry, when you move to the UK, I feel like you don't really understand that community is so different.
You're right.
People can just stay in their house for months.
That's me.
to be honest. And it's like, for me, I need community. I think I was living by myself before. I had to move to a place where I had housemates because I just need to talk to people. I like to talk. Cho. Odumodu was talking about me.
But you're always show walkings now.
Yeah,
but,
show walkings. Yeah, and I think that's why people say that the UK can be depressing because the community really does matter.
Exactly. But now that this thing has built over time, I've seen different types of communities in different spaces, and it's like people are super lovely.
Yeah, in like with what you said, there's amazing events. Like, you don't necessarily have to be in that state where you're just probably in the house. It's just having awareness or knowing where there's just like I've just been seeing one recently that a lot of black people, they went to like a ski.
Yeah, no way. Like, that is so neat.
And they were playing music. There was Hype Man. Yeah. I was like, wow, like this is nice. This is something I would definitely go for. Like, I'll be very happy. And then there's other ones too where there's like they're inviting DJs. And it's just like not a DJ battle, the different DJs just playing different sets, but it's just Afrobeats.
Yeah.
And then they're just mixing. You see like what they do in Obi's house. Have you seen it? Like, they'll just like the DJ, everybody will gather around the DJ and they'll just be mixing like nice different vibe. Like it's something that is sort of nice. So yeah, it's creating awareness, which is very good.
Yeah,
what you're doing, creating awareness for those events. And I hope that you don't get tired. You continue to keep at it.
If I can say another like major reason was, you know, when you go on the ticketing platforms and stuff like that, you're trying to look for events. If you type, let's say, Nigeria, for example, you would get swallowed up in like thousands of events that probably don't even cater to our needs as like, for example, an immigrant. So that was like the aim of the town crier, to spotlight stuff like that. And who is doing what? Why not show up and support? You know, like it's...
Yeah, exactly. So it's cool. It's encouraging to say, oh, like people are coming. Like I think I was at the second, like the All Nigerian Pop Quiz. Now it's actually grown from when I started attending to what it is now, which is actually something that is good. So the person doesn't give up. And especially if it's a very good event.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So because if you're able to give those events awareness, people will definitely come.
Sure.
And they continue to grow.
Yeah.
People will come to enjoy themselves and people will come to network, which is very good.
Yeah,
because obviously in this country, information is power. If you don't know, you don't know.
That's why I always like. That's why I always say to people like, if you don't know, like just you don't know. Just go and look for the information.
Yeah,
and then you get to know.
Yeah, so we've made it easier for you, all in one place.
So about you yourself, Gongo.
Okay, me.
Yeah, you Gongo outside TTC.
Yes.
Why I can see that you create good content, so why are you not serious about it?
LOL, it's time. Oh, baby, it's time. I'm telling you, between I work full time, as told you, I do research, so I work in executive search, and it's actually like quite demanding, especially as you progress. But
I like that.
Yeah, it's quite demanding.
Wait, work is demanding, or
work is demanding. Work. Oh, yeah, okay. just like, you know, not too bad, but it's demanding. And then there is the town crier that I do. And I think with regards to content creation, I just like to do it as it happens. I don't want to become,
I have to post content.
Yeah, just as the vibes happen. If I think of something, I just put it on my Instagram story or my TikTok or whatever. And it's usually something very stupid. The last time I asked, if I was a slice of tomato, would you use me for yam and egg sauce?
she has some funny. There's one to say,
yeah,
August. like to choke people. Like,
I'll follow you.
what did you want to ask her?
I shot that, Matt. I've forgotten.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. I'll remember again.
Okay, but yeah, with regards to that, it's just a matter of time. Hopefully, I can, you know, reduce certain things and maybe go into that content creation. But it's something I do for fun when I have the time to do it.
So who's your favorite content creator?
Oh, my goodness. That Omoba Babe. Do you know her? The one that normally Wale is, she has a character called Wale. Wale is this son that brings different types of like potential wives to his mom. Mm. Have you not seen this
before? I haven't seen.
Let me check.
Yeah.
What's the name?
Omoba what?
Omoba. That's just it.
Omoba.
Yeah.
I haven't seen. That's the thing Instagram. About the world of content creators. It's so big.
Yeah.
Like they will have different, everybody will have their own different fans, different audiences.
Yeah.
It's just with like Lai Wasabi now. Wasabi 2 now in the UK. It's becoming very big.
No, that's my favorite. Lai People Wasabi. People are
tapping in.
Okay, her name is Ade Ronke. She's level 14 officer. Have you ever seen this week?
Let me see.
Yeah.
To be honest, I know she has. She will have a lot of followers. But,
she would. But she's too funny.
I've never.
Oh, I know the. I know this lady.
You need
this,
to. You need
I know her. But exactly. I
know her.
I've seen some of her. I've seen some of
her.
I've seen some of it, but I don't follow her.
So she has a series where she acts as a mom, and then she has Wale. Wale is her son that brings different potential wives to the mom, like to marry. So she's brought like. A babalawo once. Like, it's just too funny to watch.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What about you? Who's your... Oh, you just said Lai Wasabi.
Of course.
Lai Wasabi is one of the goats of when it comes to content creation in Nigeria.
And he's smart.
He's really
obviously because he's a lawyer, isn't it?
But is he actually studying law?
No, of course not. Of course not.
Oh my God, that guy is too funny. He said, there's one that he said, update. When he was giving motivational talk... Did you hear that Kule Afford could not afford to complete the payment for his fraud? See, oh my God, yes. Lai Wasabi is so funny. All right. Other things I wanted to talk about is sort of happenings, things that have been going on that have sort of merged both worlds. Do you like Portable?
Yeah. I think it's
now,
funny. Even before Skepta, I used to be watching Portable. Like, this is a character.
Yeah, it's a different character. And yeah, have you actually listened to the music?
So, Tony Montana, is that what you mean? I've heard it. I listened to it and I've seen clips from the...
from the internet.
From the internet, yeah.
Do you think it's a good song?
It's a vibe. Tony.
Yeah, I think it's
Big
a vibe.
Big Smoke, Pelu, Tobacco.
Well, what is so surprising is you have two people that are two different contrasts from two different...
Two different worlds. You'll have never imagined that collaboration. Never.
That is so crazy. It's mad. The internet is so good.
Yeah. It's a bit random.
Yeah. The internet is so good that it's able to... Because it was Skepta that actually invited him.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I like about Portable is... I don't know. Obviously, it's not planned. It's just who he is. He's not one of those people that... Oh, when they see like a celebrity, they're not trying to...
Impress you.
It's not trying to... So, like some people will be reserved. They will not want to be doing too much. But I can remember the very... Yeah, I can remember the very first video that he posted. He said, Gami, may we do song together, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm sure maybe he didn't want to do a song with him. Like, maybe Skepta wasn't planning to do a song. He just saw his character. He just like, I like this guy. He's crazy on his own. Because Skepta was the one that called him that, you act like Tony Montana, which is, I don't know, have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't.
Not me.
Yeah, Scarface.
Okay.
That's, I heard of it, but not that.
Is the same way Project was doing.
Yeah.
That's the way the guy to ask. The guy
that's why they're dressed
crazy.
That way in the music video, right? Is that
it's
after?
Sort of not. Maybe it's the way they just...
Gangsta vibes.
It's not... He was a gangster, but he was like a very, very crazy guy. He wasn't flashy in that sense.
Very crude.
Robes.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was very, very crude. Like, I'm sure you'd have seen that meme before. That meme that says, first you get the money, then you get the power, and then you get the women.
Mm.
That's the movie the film is from. So, yeah. Portable and Tony Montana, they are sort of... They're similar in their behavior and what they do. So I'm sure he just met him just for the vibes. Like, okay, yeah, this guy is out of the box. He's somebody I would just like to meet. But then Portable is not trying to be cool when he gets to him. He's still behaving like himself. Say, Gami, maybe we'll do something together. I mean, he doesn't even care about genres. You're right.
And that's the best thing about Portable. He, like, one thing that I've learned personally from him is that talent is not enough. You have to fight, push yourself. He doesn't wait for anybody to push him or anything. Or he will push himself. You will not get tired. He knows how to use the internet. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And you can't get tired of him.
I'll say he's gained so much publicity since when he has started doing everything he's doing. He's actually so crazy. Yeah.
And the fact that he's not even signed under any record label or anything. He's just
independent.
Doing his own shit. Yeah.
It's everything that happens to him is just so random. From to where he's coming to UK to do shows. Mm-hmm. He's going to America. Yeah. He's going to South Africa. It's just so crazy. And at the beginning, people are just saying, oh, he's a madman. Oh. Well, bro, he's making money. There's workings.
Yeah.
There's workings that are showing. Yeah. Yeah.
Evidence. Oh, plenty.
But there's this whole topic going on right now. I was going to ask, for us as immigrants that we grew up in Nigeria, do you think the UK is depressing?
Ah, yes.
Like, just,
it can be.
No, it can be. Like, overall, if you look at the overall picture of everything.
I might not use the word depressing. I would say that it is overwhelming for a lot of people. Because for immigrants, there's a lot of pressure. It's not just the pressure of...
No, when we came, we're immigrants, but now our life is here. We're still immigrants. We're still immigrants, but our life is here now. It's not really.
It's like for a lot of people, it's like your life is one leg in, one leg out. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
There are people here who've come to the UK studies and they're presently using their 2 years postgraduate visa.
Mm.
Now, people are looking for sponsorship. You're not only thinking about how to make ends meet, you're thinking about how to stay legally in this country.
Mm.
You can't have time to make friends because you're in between, say, work or shift or looking for the next big thing. Because it's not just depressing. And the network is not there. It's like Nigerians don't really support each other. Mm. And I understand everybody here is one man for himself at a point until everybody gets their feet. But the network is not here. The community,
networking.
In as much as we say, oh, we're Nigerians, we love ourselves, we hype ourselves on the gram and things, we don't really support ourselves. Yeah. We don't give each other the information that we need. Mm. So actually, people are depressed, not only because the environment can be depressing, but because of lack of information. They don't know what next to do. They are done with school now. So what next? What's the next thing?
Yeah,
just sort of often. The way it is set up is you sort of have to, it's like a jungle. You sort of have to navigate it yourself. And it's not everybody that is built in that way. Some people need community to thrive. Some people need the information, actually. I wanted to ask, because I know the postgraduate route, but what is the route like for someone that does a degree? Is it the same thing?
Yeah. So, sorry, just so I understand, like after I did my studies, I did the graduate visa. That's the postgraduate.
The graduate visa.
So what was it like after?
No. So for example, I know for postgraduate, you do your, let's say, master's, and then you get a 2 years, I don't know what it's called.
Graduate visa.
So if you do like a degree and then you get a job, is it the same visa that those people there get?
Yeah, it's the same visa.
It's the
same thing, yeah.
Oh, so you're also one leg in, one leg out.
No, so I'm not on it anymore.
Okay.
But I was on it. And when I tell you...
Okay, so you've done your 5 years now.
No. So I've done my 2 years. I'm now on the
work visa.
Yard.
Yeah.
So you're now... How long is the work visa?
So you get your...
I'm just saying what... I know you have to renew it, but how long is it?
I have another, 3 years, 4 years left.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that tied to one workplace or is just any
workplace? It could be any, but a workplace does it for you.
So what was that like, if you don't mind me asking?
The pressure was high.
The period where you had to,
yeah, the pressure was high because when you are on... when you are even at university, before you get on the graduate visa, you don't even know if you're going to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that thing of waking up day and night, just wondering what was next in your life. Like, okay, going back to Nigeria makes sense.
That is actually crazy.
So it's crazy. And then, even after the graduate visa, would my company keep me? Would I have to start looking for a new place? You have to also consider career progression. I'm not going to just take anything because of visa. So it's just like a lot of pressure and a lot of things to consider when you are doing it. So yeah, it felt a lot. that's why like the town, my community helped, the town crier helped, because I met people going through the same thing.
Oh yeah. I can understand the pressure. That is a lot. That is, especially for a young person, that is a lot of pressure. And then you're thinking, the one thing I think the pressure will mostly be around career progression. Like, okay, if I do ends to meet, now just take any job. Like, I know people that are stuck on 5 years work visa, but you only have to work in the care industry. I'm like, so that means your life only really starts after 5 years. Because this obviously is not an industry that you want to be in. Yeah. Well, you can't really make plans outside of that.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be able to stay in the country.
Yeah. But some people, with them, the circumstances. For me, when I was done with school, I got a sponsorship with a support work.
Mm.
But I didn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And people think I'm mad for not taking it. But for me, it's like, I'd rather not. Mm. I'd rather not. And I'm not bashing people who would.
No, of course, no. But sometimes circumstances in the jungle, you have to do ends to meet.
Yeah. Yeah. Circumstances are different for everybody. For me, I'd rather just wait till I get what I want.
Yeah.
Because I mean, what I always say is, my undergrad, I finished 2015. I'm telling Tommy for a reason.
She's like, 2015.
So I finished my undergrad 2015.
Yeah.
I did my law school 2016 to 2017. So
in Nigeria. Yeah,
in Nigeria. So okay. I was called in Nigeria 2017. I didn't.
Wait. You were called to bar in 2017.
I'm a big girl.
Jesus,
damn. That's an undergraduate secondary school. I
can't.
That's damn.
Uncle Anthony Dandy.
Damn.
So yeah, I was called to
bar. What was I doing my life in 2017? Called to bar.
Yeah, I was
lawyer. You can tell you guys are the law.
No.
Sorry, I'm the law.
She's only the law.
Okay.
The law.
I respect you, madam.
Thank you. So yeah, I was called 2017. I worked for, you know, did my NYSC, whatever. Yeah. Came to the UK 2022.
Okay.
Did my master's. So imagine I then take a support work visa. It means that for 5 years, I'll be doing support work. And my last education will be 2023. Mm-hmm. And my undergrad was 2015. Do you think that when I finished, like in the next 5 years, I'll be employable?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even about it's not even about not being employable. It's just 5 years is a very long time.
It's big.
Because it's sort of like you have to start your life again after 5 years. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Overall, are you saying it's depressing?
Yes. My answer has not changed. I'm sorry. But just going back to visas, I think it's also important for a lot of us to know that there are other visas that people can take, especially I have an artist friend that is doing another visa that allows her to do what she wants to do. So if you are still in uni, talk to university, try to find a way around it. Yeah. The innovator visa.
Talent
visa.
Yeah.
Like try your best.
Startup visa.
You know? And talk to your friends too, like if you have friends and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just some people, you see there a lot of them on TikTok. Oh, if you need, like it's sort of just a lot of information that doesn't seem to be helping a lot of people.
Yeah.
I know they are trying to help, but the way the information is disseminated, and the UK is also, they don't care. Like at the end of the day, they just want that your school fees.
And your money.
And after your school fees, boom, boom, like do
three
whatever.
Times.
They don't care.
And the school fees is three times.
They don't care. They just,
and the corporate world in the UK is so different from Nigeria. Because I resigned from my work December. I almost died.
It's a lot. You probably a panic attack.
Mm. In what way?
It wasn't just panic attack. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night with palpitation.
It's happened to me too, because I lost my job in 2022. Like it was a very, very hard year in the UK to get a job. Just even to get a job in McDonald's.
It's crazy.
Like the questions they'll be asking you, you'll be like,
why do you want to work here? Uncle, I just want money.
Family. I need to pay rent.
I don't understand. You don't go to school to come and work in McDonald's. I just want money. Why do I want to work in McDonald's?
What I'll say is, yes, growing up in Nigeria, I don't think, if you're a kid growing up in Nigeria, in like a middle-class family where you don't have to worry about anything, I don't think that experience, you can get anywhere in the world. I think growing up in Nigeria as a kiddo is the most amazing
experience. It's the best thing that my
problem was if they caught me taking too much Milo. That was my
like growing up in Nigeria without any wala whatsoever, summer holidays. I don't think there's any other place in the world that you're growing up that can actually beat growing up in Nigeria. But obviously, when you become an adult and you start thinking about it, life.
I don't think Nigerian parents enough because think about this: these people send us to schools, even undergrad, they pay. We don't have to get any student loans or anything. Yeah. These our parents work for us. To fly.
Yeah. That's what I was saying to my. I was saying the same to my friend the other day. I was like, just imagine me now. I'm an adult now. As I am like this, if I have a child, with all this while that I'm going through, if I have a child that is misbehaving, now I can actually understand what my parents were. What my parents shout were actually my... going through. Yeah, shout out to Nigeria.
And today's Mother's Day, so yeah.
Shout out to my mom.
I'm mine too.
Grace, I love you, man. Thank you.
Love you, mama.
But I would say, contradicting, I'll say, I don't think it is depressing in the UK, but I know it's very hard to sort of see. It's the way the UK is set up is you can only go like short term. You can only see, it's very hard to see the bigger picture. But I think if you're able to break through, I know it's very hard. It's not everybody that'll be able to break through. If you're able to break through and sort of like find a balance, I think it's an amazing place to live because a lot of things actually work in this country. It's one of the countries where a lot of things actually work. So that's my own opinion.
The only thing that the UK, for me, has going on is that things work. Other than that, I'll give Nigeria all the accolades. Nigeria is the best place to be. I'm not even joking. Sometimes, before I took my postgraduate before I took my postgraduate visa, I had to talk myself into taking it because I wanted to go back to Nigeria.
Yeah.
For me, it was like, the life in Nigeria, till now, I still consider it. And I know a lot of people say, come back home if you think it's better.
It's a very big change. People that always say that, calm down.
No.
I say,
let me blow.
Exactly.
Let me blow.
I'm here. We know they give up. Yeah. Have you seen that meme? Say, before person go eat the jackpot, you go do a lot of sacrifice.
For real.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of patience involved in doing what we're doing. And like, it looks like it's grim now, but
looks grim.
It will get better.
But only prayer for everybody that is going through it, I know it looks, even myself, I'm still going through it, but it looks very, very grim. The only problem is age is not on our side and those kind of things.
We're lying. You're looking
like to say, when am I even actually going to actually enjoy my life? But
some of us are going to be 30 this year.
Upper.
I can't wait.
You'll get there soon, though. I know you're Gen
Z. 94, baby. We're going to be...
I beg.
Yeah.
What did you say now?
I'm 22.
What was that you when I was 22? Okay,
She's proper Gen Z. Guys, I hope you have enjoyed today's episode.
She's still looking at me.
It's a nice and short one. I don't know if anybody wants to add anything.
Yeah, I was going to say with the Town Crier, we do a lot of different things, but something that we've started doing is event meetups. So if you are going to be at any event that we're at, just let us know. We can go together. Why not? And shake one or two legs.
Especially during the summer. I like it.
Exactly. Go and shake.
If you're going out during the summer, it's good to go with people pre-drinking. You're already enjoying yourself before you get there, your vibes in.
Yeah. So let's organize. You know, let's stand together as one.
But the surprising community, that I found in the UK is the Muslim community. And I'm saying this because Ramadan is coming also. The Muslim community is amazing. Even you don't even have to, I don't think it's the African, just the African community. Just the Muslim community is amazing.
Yeah.
There's Islam all over the world. Even when I went to Saudi Arabia, obviously that's a Muslim country, but even in India, the Muslim community in India is amazing. I've lived in India for a little bit. Everywhere, all over the world, the Muslim community is amazing. Even in Cote d'Ivoire itself, the Muslim community is very, very, it's nice. Wonderful. Like sometimes I'll go to, not even sometimes, during Ramadan, I'll be in the mosque more times. It's usually actually very nice and doesn't have anything to do with black people or anything. So if you're a Nigerian and you're living in the UK, during Ramadan is coming, they always do like it's giveaway.
Masjid anyway, especially in Luton, anyways, because I live in Luton.
So the generosity.
Generosity. There's a lot of warmth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Different programs.
Yeah. Nice.
Even for females, it's amazing.
Can I ask you guys one question? Yeah. It's different. What's the worst event you've been at?
The worst event I've been to in London. I don't really go for events though.
I'm not going to lie.
Be going.
I've never been to any.
even.
Not even shows.
Yeah.
Like never. Music shows.
I've been
like,
here for 2 years. When you were talking about people that go to work and come back home and sleep, that's me.
My sister, you are coming outside.
You need to be outside. That's me. Bro. The worst.
I just love to sleep. I know I'm an elderly person.
I can't remember the worst. But they've definitely been. I've been in London, it's so annoying because there's some times that you go out in the night and you will not be able to get into any club. It's not like I'm going to club. But they are so annoying in London. But sometimes you go out, like me and my friends, there was one night we've gone out since like maybe 11 till 4 a.m., 5 a.m., we could not get into any club.
Why? What's going on?
We get to one club, they can say, oh, you're wearing cargo pants. Nah, you cannot
Are
come
you serious?
In. Yeah. Like, not cargo, like the ones that we have. We're not going to let you in. Another one of the people that I went with, he abused the bouncer. We're not going to let you in. I was like, oh my God, like 4 a.m. We had to charge the whole night because we couldn't get into anywhere. Yeah.
I think for me, what discouraged me with, London parties was when I first got into this country, my friend Celia, shout out to Celia, she invited me out to this Afrobeat club. And if I tell you, I got into this club. I don't know where it is right now because obviously I was new then and
It's probably somewhere in Dagenham. It's a bad one. It's
if I'm telling you
probably
that
somewhere in Dagenham.
Afrobeat, they were playing songs. I don't even understand. I was just upset. Like, is this a club? Like, coming from Nigeria newly, you know, and going. I'm someone that I, you know, explored in Nigeria well.
She said she was outside.
I was outside.
She was outside.
And I, you know, when you grow up, you just have to let go of some things. But I was outside Ibadan, Lagos, Abuja. And I now come to London and then you're telling me this is an Afrobeat club and you're playing what I don't understand.
I will suggest
the DJ was just
some
trash
club for you to look out.
But there's actually very good ones. There's good ones. Yeah. I'm not even gonna lie. There is actually very good ones. Don't
good
worry.
Good vibes.
Good vibes. Nice we'll plug one. Some.
Okay, cool. So now that I know you.
We'll plug some. There's actually, to be honest, there's good like Afrobeat events, like very good. There's one that they call Faji Sundays. That one is amazing. They always pray money. Like I've seen
real money.
Real money.
Okay, I'm going.
Dollars. Faji Sundays, it's something you, check them out. Check TTC,
OJ, on what you were saying about this place being depressing for a lot of Nigerians, I would say that, yes, a lot of Nigerians find it depressing.
No, I didn't say it's depressing.
No.
I said it's off topic.
Okay.
I said it's
I think the reason a lot of people find it depressing is that people just focus on making money in this country. Like, people pick shift after shift after shift. You get home, you're knackered, you can't go anywhere, you're tired, you want to sleep. The next day, off to shift. Like, you don't have any social life.
There's no work-life balance.
You don't. There's no network. You only have your work colleagues that are not really your friends. So, obviously, to get depressing.
Exactly. It would actually
slow down
depressing.
The shift and go out.
Yeah.
If you
take
have
time off.
If you are able to get good work-life balance in the UK, is especially London. London is amazing.
It's corporate life.
Like me, just recently.
Corporate life is
corporate life.
Nine to five.
Corporate life 9 to 5. Or if you're working, what do we call this one that they work from
remote.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I know people that are doing remote jobs that are living a very amazing life. You actually
my own 9 to 5.
These ones are not depressing.
Wanted to take my life. And my it was remote. He wanted to take my life. I was working Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday my supervisor will have something stupid to say about me. If you're watching this, I don't like you.
God will judge you.
Is it a UK company?
I think when companies do that,
I was the only immigrant.
They try to take advantage of the fact that you are home. It's as if you cannot have boundaries again. And sometimes you have to be a bad person. I know in my office, I'm a bad person.
And I think that was
lunchtime, I'm out.
And I think that's the mistake that I made. I was very humble. And because I didn't find the community that I needed, I was not the only black person, but I was the only immigrant black person. Mm. So it was, I felt out of place. And there was, because obviously it's a law firm, it was very prim and proper and everything. So and one thing they say about the UK corporate life, so if you're hearing this, try and socialize with your
peeps.
Because when they invite me for lunch, I don't go. Work parties, I don't go. So maybe they just thought this one are just outcasts.
Sort of, sometimes because you don't understand the culture. it might sort of be withdrawn to say, well, it's better not to. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of energy. I don't want to put into that. Yeah. Guys, we're going to round up the episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Lagos Meets London is sponsored by Tasty African Food.
Yum, yum.
If you want your plug for Nigerian food in London, there's one outlet in Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Yeah, I think there is in Birmingham, but Nigerian food, authentic Nigerian food, affordable, tasty African food. And if you like Chapman's, the drink, I'm sure, do you know Chapman?
Yeah.
The Chapman's of London, they're also sponsors, collaborators of the podcast as a whole. So check them out. There'll be a link in the description and there would be like videos sort of telling you where to get and reviews and everything. So guys, thank you once again. Don't forget to
like,
subscribe. You can listen on audio platforms, Apple, Spotify, Jollof Radio for people that are in Nigeria.
Oh, nice.
And you can watch on YouTube too. We're everywhere, literally. Tommy, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for coming. You know, on Instagram at ttc.london and our website is www.ttclondon.com.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed yourself.
I did. You guys are good. You guys are lovely.
Thank you.
We'll still have another conversation. We still need to talk about before you came to the UK. Have you ever been to London?
Yes, just came visiting, though. And I didn't leave my house. I didn't leave the house.
You came to visit, but you did not visit anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, we went to our museum.
That's my kind of vibe.
Buckingham Palace and Madame Tussauds.
All those. We did the aquarium.
You do the London. When we used to come as kids, we would do Madame Tussauds, we do Buckingham Palace, we do shopping on Oxford Street.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things But now,
we're inside.
All right, guys.
No, you're outside.
Thank you so much for listening once again. And guys, on the next episode, I'll be about our new member of the gang. Will tell us more about ourselves. Now she has already warmed up. She's nice and cozy now. So, guys, so we always end every episode. You say Lagos Meets London and we say Wahala.
Okay.
Lagos Meets London.
Wahala.
Bye.